This is the Black Drones in the Hive constellation. It is a mishmash of personal photographs of my family members, the proclamation that was put in place by Laurier to ban those African indigenous people coming up from Indian territory. That was a ban that was formally 1 year long, but really practically stayed in play up until the 1950s when British Caribbean folks were brought over to fulfill nursing and or other jobs at that time. What's also in this constellation, it's, you know, a schoolhouse for Black kids. There's former slaves in this constellation. There's the documentation of Levi Carroll's military service during the Civil War. There's a former slave house, slave pen in Virginia, and an African-American woman that was standing outside of that. Her face was so pained at the time that I had to invert it because it just was too much. Too much to pass on to people. Other things I want to flag, I want to speak to family. The image at the far right of this constellation with these lovely people in there at church are my family. This is my grandfather. This is my great uncle. This is Andrew Risby, who's connected to Cheryl Fogo. This is my grandmother. This is my Aunt Lena. All of these women I went to church with. I know all of these folks. Very, very, very fundamentalist God and livestock kind of a practice. My grandfather was called to the church when he was maybe 25 at best and learned how to read through reading the Bible. It's a very important part of our family history, because it's the means in which literacy comes into the equation. I have yet to do the work of unpacking this community, this African-Canadian-American community's responsibilities or roles in Indigenous residential schools, because Amber Valley is very much situated right in between a number of Indigenous residential schools in northern Alberta. And my grandfather's part, their religion is part of the Methodist Church, which, of course, is Ryerson's preferred religion. So I don't know. But I know that my grandfather's church, our family's church, was evangelical and very much caught in the spreading of the gospel, which is inherently, you know, a part of the tool of colonization, right? I haven't got there yet. Other images of former slaves that are on the move, moving north out of the south. The house at the top of this constellation is actually my grandfather's side of the family. My grandfather's side of the family is Kentucky through Kansas, particularly a town called Nicodemus. And so this is one of the first settlement houses by the Charles William family, which is who my family is connected to. My grandfather's father, his grandparents came to Canada in 1908. My grandfather's aunt, Elizabeth, was on the census records prior to coming to Canada in Kansas, and then she doesn't show up in census records on the Canadian side, so I just assumed death. But in fact, what it was is that she stayed behind in Kansas and married into one of the founding families of Nicodemus, the Williams family, and out of that, I came to discover the extended history of Nicodemus. It's an all-Black town, a mirror image of Amber Valley and all the Black towns in northern Alberta. And my grandfather's aunt was the first postmaster of that town through the 1940s. I've since gone to that town and met family, gone back to the cemetery, the Civil War era cemetery, and I've met a relative who has done the job of collecting the oral histories, the family lineages, and photographs of the founders, the slave-born founders, which is an exceptional task by any historian. And between her and I, we have mapped the most northernmost migration of African-Americans and, of course, ultimately the most northernmost African-American communities in the Amber Valley region. My grandfather's side of the family reaches into Yellowknife and disappears into the Cree Nation. It's a very long migration, a long journey towards freedom that doesn't happen. Otherwise, there's examples of other imagery. This is my great-grandmother's grandmother, Aurelia Gregory. That will take us into early 18s in Creek territory, southern Alabama. You could look at her and easily assume a miscegenation between white and Black, but it's important to flag the reality that it could very much be a conversation about miscegenation between Black and Indigenous bodies. The town that we come from in Alabama, there was a gentleman in, again, a misnomer, that was all about the creation, the buying and selling of Black bodies. and in very close quarter to indigenous people. Other images speak to the power, the quote-unquote black representation after emancipation, this bird of freedom and the black bird, well, it's a question really of which one are we talking about. The bird of freedom, I'm assuming, is the eagle as it relates to the United States, and I guess the black bird would be some kind of anthropometric kind of representation of a freed black body. Other things, my grandfather is here. This is Albert Risby, and he is every part of why I make the work that I make. He tasked me with this job of I was chosen by him to do this work. And so it was very important to keep him in the picture. One of y'all is going to get chosen by your grandparents too. Just wait. There's more documentation of Columbus Bowen. This is documentation of an application for homestead. Underneath this is an example of that shift of the gaze that I was talking about when you invert an image. The name of this image is called, on the lower left-hand side, the name of the image is Coon, Coon, Coon. And in the positive of that image, you have two young white children pointing at this black man on the corner of a street. And it's just horrible. But if you invert it, that the gaze shifts to the two evil children in the image and is aptly where it should be, really. And so this is a really great example of what happens when you turn that image around. Something that I've been thinking of through a lot is the complicated relationship between black and indigenous people. And there's an image of a musical production, vaudevillian musical production called The Indian, and it's an image of a black man on his knees with an indigenous warrior with a knife behind him, and it's this notion that, and underneath it, it says, Gore Almighty, I'm a dead coon, sure. And that, I'm not really quite sure. I thought a lot about why that image should be here, because I thought it was an apt reflection of, you know, the very real tensions between black and indigenous people, again, when thinking about indigenous enslavement of black bodies. But I'm also kind of curious about the reproduction of both indigenous and black bodies in this white authored image and how both of them do a job of disseminating a stereotype that is lasting